Glad you could join us here today. For the third time in recent years, opponents of hydraulic fracturing are organizing to end the practice in Michigan. The Committee to Ban Fracking, based in Charlevoix, has begun a ballot campaign hoping to put a ban before the legislature and, if necessary, before voters in next year's general election. Fracking critics say chemicals and gases involved in the process are destructive to health and the environment. It also claims the practice worsens global warming and threatens property values, jobs, and the food supply. Opponents of a ban, which include many state officials, claim the decades-old practice is regulated and safe. They say about 12,000 Michigan wells have been fracked in about the last half century without incident. To learn more about the effort to ban hydraulic fracturing, we welcome the campaign director of the Committee to Ban Fracking in Michigan, Luann Cosma. Welcome.
Good morning.
Clarify something for us here at the outset, Luann. Your group is against what it calls high-volume horizontal fracturing. Is all hydraulic fracturing high-volume horizontal fracturing?
We actually haven't worded it with the word high volume, since that is dependent upon a DEQ arbitrary number of 100,000 gallons. So instead, we defined horizontal fracking as simply the fracking that's going on inside the horizontal well bore, no matter how high volume or low volume it might be. But in general, all of the wells that will be banned by our petition would be of the new high volume type. That's the new type of well that they are trying to do since 2010.
But would passage of your measure mean that everything called fracking would simply end, or is there a particular variation of fracking that is your concern here?
Well, we, again, only are banning what's going on in the horizontal well bore, so not all wells are horizontally drilled. As the DEQ has been saying for a long time, that they've been doing other types of fracking that has been vertical fracking, and we won't even be stopping all horizontal wells either if they're not fracking. So, that always depends on what their plan is.
Generally, there are a number of reasons that you feel hydraulic fracturing is dangerous and destructive. A key one is that the practice uses too many toxic chemicals to free up these reserves of natural gas and oil deep in the ground. What chemicals are we talking about here, and how are they used exactly?
Well, that's right. There are a lot of chemicals, and part of the problem is that they don't even reveal all of them. Some of the mixes are proprietary. But over about 900 products or so, using about 600 chemicals, have been identified by other sources, this organization called the Endocrine Disruption Exchange out of Colorado, that's been looking at oil and gas operations there for a long time. So it includes very toxic chemicals like the BTEX group, the famous benzene, toluene, ethylbenzene, and xylene, and other things, lead, methanol. They've been putting out lots of acids down the well, basically a parade of horribles down the well.
But you're claiming they don't reveal all of them. I did see a list on the state website of some of these chemicals that are used. You're saying that some number of them are not revealed?
Right. If you look at any of the MSDS sheets, you'll usually find one or two items that say it's part of it is proprietary. So some of it is being revealed. Other parts are not being revealed.
Okay. This is a threat to water supplies, to aquifers, in your view.
Extremely, yes.
As well.
Well, one of the key parts of this is that they're using water to do the process. So it's water pollution is inherent in the process. They can't do this without polluting the water that they're using to mix up with the chemicals in the sand and so on. So that is what is being destroyed right off the bat, being put down the deep wells under high pressure to fracture the rock or to acidize the rock. So we'll be banning acidizing as well in horizontal well bores. And so that water now is permanently destroyed, cannot be used again. It may be recycled, but only to a point. Not real clear if in Michigan they're recycling any of the water, but it's never brought to a a point where it can be used in any other way. It's always waste. And in every frack well, some of that material stays down there. So every frack well site, gas site, does become its own Superfund site. And then the material that does come out right away and then later on as time goes on, and the industry calls it various things at various points, whenever, first it comes out as flowback, then later it comes out, then there's produced water and so on. All of this is now waste product that must be disposed of. And in Michigan, it's required that the industry put it in injection wells, which often are all old oil and gas wells. So these well casings, which are essentially cement and steel, which we all know corrodes and degrades over time. I mean, the road issue in Michigan alone has made that very clear to everybody. These wells do fail, and some fail immediately. About 5% fail as soon as they're poured. So they don't do this perfectly. And when you're talking about thousands and thousands of wells, that's a lot of wells that are immediately leaking. And then others leak over time. And it's been well documented, I think, by the industry itself, and as well as researchers at Cornell University. So the well casings are really another big part of the issue. It's why frack wells and injection wells leak.
Luann Cosma is our guest. She is the campaign director for the Committee to Ban Fracking in Michigan. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce is launching an effort opposing yours on its website called Protecting Michigan's Energy Future. It lists a series of facts and myths. One of the myths, myth, hydraulic fracturing is a threat to water supplies. Not true, it says. When anyone, whether it is a soft drink bottling plant, an industrial company, or a municipal water supplier, proposes to use a large amount of water, that proposal is entered into a computer program Michigan regulators designed to track and measure water use and protect local aquifers. If it appears that proposed local uses put dangerous stress on local water supplies, the proposed withdrawal request is denied. Michigan's Water Withdrawal Assessment Tool is a nationally lauded environmental protection technique, unquote. Response to that, please.
Well, there's a lot there. Yeah, first of all, they're confusing use with destruction of water. Consumptive uses, or uses that are being used in products that are then, consumed and people then excrete and so on, and even agricultural uses, those are, in fact, going back into the hydrological cycle. But the wastewater that we're talking about, it's just highly toxic industrial gas and oil waste. It should never be called water after they've done what they've done to it. It now needs to be disposed of permanently, basically entombed. And I think a lot of people, I know I sure did, thought that an injection well meant that it was going into some container of some kind, right, in the ground. That was my assumption when I first started learning about this stuff. But no, it really is just deep injection, and really not even that deep, into certain formations of the earth. So you can imagine a tube or straw, going down. That's the well casing going into the earth until it reaches a formation of rock. And then that hazardous material is being just put into that formation in the hopes that it will stay there. And as it spreads out from the point of injection, it's spreading out through that entire layer.
Well, the DEQ and many others point here, they describe this as a practice that goes back a good half century to around 12,000 fracked Michigan wells, to regulations, some of which they claim are an industry standard. What accounts for this enormous discrepancy here between what you claim and what they claim?
Well, they're not telling the truth, that is for sure. And it's pretty well documented. There's, it's true that they've been doing oil and gas drilling for a long time. That's absolutely true. In fact, part of the law that we are going to change with our petition is language. Part of it is language that dates back to 1939, in which the state is required to, quote, foster the development of the industry along the most favorable conditions and with a view to the ultimate recovery of the maximum production of these natural products. So back when the oil and gas industry was new, the state, you know, very understandably wanted to embrace this new technology and the new industry and promote it. And it's written right into our law that the state is required. And that's the DEQ that is required to do that now. And I think that's very shocking to most people when they find out that the DEQ is not required to look out for environment and people's health when it comes to oil and gas development. And we are going to change that around with our new language.
Let's assume that you...
As far as the 12,000 wells go, yes, they've been doing vertical fracking and vertical drilling for a long time, but their environmental record is anything but clean. Dr. Chris Grobel is an expert in this, not me, but he has been writing and speaking about this around the state, and I'm looking at his slideshow right now that's earlier version of it. But the DEQ used to keep track of a list of contaminated sites and problems that have happened in the past. And for example, in 2001,
okay, we're out of time. I'm going to ask you. Okay.
For the Great Lakes, found that 187 sites were contaminated by oil and gas drilling. So that is a lot of sites. They don't have a perfect record.
We want to thank our guest, Luann Cosma, who is the campaign director of the Committee to Ban Fracking in Michigan. We'll keep an eye on it. Luann, thanks for joining us.
Okay, thanks. Have people go to our website, letsbanfracking.org, to volunteer, donate, or get involved.